Hello and welcome to Bad Boy Cinema. I am your host, Rick Reel, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Elliot Film. Elliot, how are you doing?
I'm perfectly adequate. What up, movie lovers? We're back.
What's up, movie lovers? There we go. What's up, movie lovers? Gotta have the right cadence for the kind of people listening to this garbage. So this week, following our retrospective of the Kung Fu Panda trilogy, we're now going over Kung Fu Panda 4, released the year of the recording, 2024, directed by Mike M, starring Jack Black, as well as Awkwafina, Nora Brian Cranston, James Hong, Ian McShane, and Viola Davis as the chameleon.
Yeah.
And great. So your experience watching this movie was probably different.
I listened to the Kung Fu Panda 4 podcast, just describe it. So that's
drama. How is Kung Fu Panda 4?
I purchased my tickets to the cinema to the 70mm 4K Ultra HD 3D experience for Kung Fu Panda 4.
Did you really?
Yeah. It was 70mm 3D. 4K. Yeah,
4K. IMAX. All 48. Yeah, I bet this in IMAX would have kind of gone hard.
Sure. I got the regular tickets. The regular experience. And approximately an hour into the film, the projector broke, I'll say. I'll describe it.
And to be fair, the movie's only an hour and a half long.
Yeah.
Which is including like the credit sequence. So like you maybe missed like 20 minutes of content.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say I missed it.
I thought I enjoyed this film. I thought it was it was an improvement from Kung Fu Panda 3, which I didn't like very much. If we all recall from the previous episode, I thought it was good here. And I've had to come to the conclusion, it's kind of difficult for me to admit this, but I don't think I like Jack Black. Like, I don't think he's funny, I should say. He seems like a cool guy.
In general or in this franchise?
I think he's funny at all. Which might be a spicy take, but I don't...
You're wrong about that.
Okay.
My girlfriend said similar things.
She's a huge Nacho Libre fan, which I don't get. I don't know.
I will say this. Now, I've held this opinion for a long time. Jack Black is the most likable actor in the most bad movies.
He's very likable. I mean, again, I don't...
Incredibly likable in a lot of bad movies. But he's also great in those movies. I think he's a little handcuffed in the Kung Fu Panda series.
Here's the thing, man. All the characters in this movie were funny, except for, in my opinion, Jack Black and Awkwafina, who I thought were not funny. I mean, and I'm not a huge Awkwafina head.
Yeah.
I wasn't
familiar.
Super enthused with her being in the movie, but like Chameleon was funnier than the fox. Zen. It's kind of got a J in there. I mean, there's not one in the name, but it's a little J sound.
Spiritual J.
Yeah. But yeah, no, not, not funny, but like, you know, Bryan Cranston and
James Hong.
James Hong is old as hell, and he did great.
He's 95.
He was killing it. Wouldn't have guessed he was 95.
Yeah.
Could have been like 87.
Could have fooled me.
Could have fooled me. But he was doing a great job. You know, and the dads, they're funny. Master Shifu always brings a nice dry wit to the big screen. So, you know, tip of the hat to Master Shifu. You know, Chameleon was a fun, not necessarily super deep, compelling character, but a fun villain in my opinion.
I think my problem with this film is there's no depth to it.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty, I would say there's not a whole lot of depth in maybe any of these other than maybe the first one, maybe the second one.
I think the third one has some emotional draw where he's meeting his family and he's like, there's pandas.
Well, I think you did miss the emotional cathartic because you didn't get to see this part. I liked the moment where, the part I think you dipped out on when the projector stopped working was Poe is like kind of launched out of the evil fortress.
Yeah, the Dark Souls Bridge.
And he's at the Dark Souls Bridge, and he's been he gets caught by the dads who are following him.
But the fall and the catch is when it broke. So
yeah,
I heard the audio.
Yeah,
for the folks, you heard the
audio. I'm recapping for the audience as well here. And you know, at this point he was on the journey to the evil location with Awkwafina, who betrays him because she was in cahoots with
the chameleon,
and so that's where we are. And then you know the dads get Poe. And then he's like, okay, I'm going to go back up the mountain. Essentially, you know, he gathers, they gather the troops, you know?
Yeah.
Well,
the Den of Thieves.
Yeah. The Den of Thieves get involved, who were, you know, previously, you know, friends with Awkwafina, and then they're not. It's very, very,
there's a lot of unbetrayal in this film.
There's a lot of unbetraying, yeah. But then there's a nice, you know, clash between Poe and Awkwafina on the Dark Souls Bridge, where they have a kind of a reconciliation. And I liked that moment, was nice. I thought, and again, I think each movie's like cinematography and like stylistic choices and like the fight choreography, I think is. I mean, other than the third movie, I don't think the fight choreography was very good there, but in every other sense, they just keep getting better.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's an exception here. I think it looked great and the fights were a lot of fun.
I'm inclined to agree. I thought the manta ray was cool.
The manta ray was cool.
They changed the animation style a little bit and they got some variation in there.
Yeah. As
you said, in the retrospective, it's definitely a precursor to, Into the Spider-Verse.
Yeah, they're doing some of that in the third one, and then of course they're still doing it, but you know, definitely borrowing a page out of the Puss in Boots film, the Last Wish, which was a great film. I also like that because Poe has a staff now, he can do like that adds like an element to the fighting choreography that I think is fun. You can do a lot with the staff, you know, like, cause he can throw hands and then, oh, now he's got a staff. He can like grab stuff. He can kind of launch himself around in it. It worked very well. I thought all the fight sequences were very fun. I liked the chase sequence through,
Juniper City.
I was going to say Lotusville, which I mean, that could be a place that maybe that is a place in the Kung Fu Panda universe. You know, maybe maybe Kung Fu Panda 5.
Yeah,
we'll get there. You know, again, the fight choreography was good, and for the final fight with Chameleon, so they did this thing where she, you know, is using the different ability. She summons the spirit portal thing and just brings out all the bad guys and all the dead good guys and just is stealing all their powers and stuff. And then, you know, Poe fights her. She cycles through abilities one at a time. and you know, he kind of wins, and then she just kind of uses all of her abilities at once to like turn into like a weird like chimera dragon thing, like very freaky looking thing, just using components of all the different creatures she's, you know, absorbed. And I thought that's how it was going to end, and I was disappointed because like in the third movie I was disappointed where it was like a giant, you know, spirit dragon thing was how it ended. I thought that was dumb. And that happens for a little bit, and then she like basically just turns into like a shadow Poe with the addition of like extra moves that she's borrowing from the other, you know, Kung Fu masters.
Dark Link, if you will.
Yeah, kind of a Dark Link, kind of a Dark Link situation. And I liked that as far as an ending fighting sequence, like the choreography and you know, the way the fight was structured was a lot of fun. Again, story wise, it was serviceable. It was fine. I don't think it didn't do any disservice to any of the previous films.
Sure. I don't know that any character in these movies has any motivations. The Chameleon's just like, what if I just had all the kung fu power of all time? Wouldn't that
it does seem like at the beginning of the movie, they're like, all right, Poe, we're going to give you your motivation because you would not do this by yourself. You know, and the same with this one. But, you know, who cares? At least they didn't make him stupid in this one. Like Poe seemed.
Yeah.
It didn't like he feel like in the third one, I feel like he takes a step back, both power level wise and like just he seems dumber.
Yeah. It's the skill regression when he found out that he is autistic.
Yeah. But this one, I think he's back to a reasonable level. He feels kind of competent. Like he could actually be the dragon warrior. You know, and Tai Lung, one of the villains, the only villain from a previous movie who's brought back and has the voice actor like show up to do lines. He's like, you know what? Maybe you actually should have been the dragon warrior. He's like, you're all right. You know, I thought you were kind of terrible, but yeah, you're pretty chill.
Now this might be a hot take and definite spoilers. I think Tai Lung should have been dragon warrior. I think
they deeply regretted killing off Tai Lung in the first movie. Yeah. Like, I don't think they had they're like, oh, we're going to have a franchise. They didn't think that the first one. So they're like, oh, we're just going to end it. It's going to be a one and done thing. And they're like, well, what if we keep making these? And they're like, oh, we should have not killed that guy.
Yeah.
That's the vibe I was getting. I was just like, oh, like they really just want it. They like him. And I like him too. I think Tai Lung's probably he's probably my favorite villain, especially with his appearance in this film.
Yeah.
Rounds. I mean, which again, you
I believe it.
You weren't there for it, but the ending sequence, he's a dick to Poe, and then Poe saves the day, and then he's like, you know, yeah, you're all right. Maybe Oogway knew what he was doing after all.
Yeah, shout out Oogway.
Oogway, he was a crazy guy, man. That Oogway, dude, he was wilding out.
Yeah, I don't know if Oogway knows what he's doing, really. I think it works out, but...
It all works out, which is all that matters,
it's
right?
It's like a Mr. Magoo kind of thing, where it's just like, it's just blind luck.
Yeah, and I think there's some charm to that, you know? Mm-hmm. But Awkwafina, man, not... I get like in on paper, if I didn't already dislike Awkwafina, I understand why she was cast for this role. Like it makes sense, you know?
Yeah.
That character archetype I think works kind of well with like the Awkwafina vibe and cadence and so forth. And like the raspiness, you know, that being said, the whole time I'm like, oh, this is just Awkwafina. And she's not playing a character. She's just doing the same thing she does in everything else.
And that's good. I have seen a lot. I didn't expect it, but I have seen a decent amount of backlash that this is a classic situation of go woke, go broke, where this movie is going to bomb because they gave a woman the Dragon Warrior staff or whatever.
Like and on paper, like I don't like that they make that, like, Awkwafina now might be like a Kung Fu Panda staple, a franchise near and dear to my heart.
Yeah, I'm reading.
Why couldn't Beast have been the Dragon Warrior series? They're doing six?
Allegedly. In 2010, CEO Jeffrey Katzenberg. Jeffrey K. Wanted to bring it to a six film series. So.
Well, I mean, I think this one is going to, you know, we had our first trilogy, and I think that the Awkwafina trilogy is going to, you know, they don't really touch too much at the end of the movie of Awkwafina. You know, she's selected at the very, very end as the successor. And then the Furious Five, who are absent for the whole movie, show up for the credit sequence, and they do that stupid training montage thing, but they do it with Awkwafina. And so there's not a whole lot of touching on. It's like this whole movie feels like the setup for the next movie where Poe actually learns how to be a spiritual leader and is actually training Awkwafina. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it was just set up for that, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. Again, I thought the movie was fun. It was a fun, funny time.
All right.
With the exception of me not thinking Jack Black is funny. Shout out Mr. Beast.
Shout out Jimmy Beast. Killed it. Speaking of Jimmy Beast, there's a topic we need to touch on that all the audience is wondering.
The Kung Fu Panda heads are definitely been wondering when we were going to talk about this. I feel like we've stalled long enough.
We have
to talk about the S word.
Absolutely. Now, what is the skadoosh count on this
I think it's like five.
I counted five, but because I missed the last 20-ish minutes, I wasn't sure if they snuck a little extra.
The final. So Awkwafina wants, when she's using the staff, mm-hmm, to do moves, her finishing phrase is skablam.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And, she does that on Chameleon, and at one point it doesn't, you know, work super good. So then Jack Black shows up. He's like, let me show you how it's done. And he finishes her with a skadoosh. He's like, you gotta use skadoosh. You can't use skablam. You gotta use skadoosh. And that's what, you know, kills her. So it does feel like they're kind of sniffing their own farts with this a little bit.
Yeah, we were so far off in our predictions of like, they're not gonna do it.
Cause I thought they saw the third movie and they're maybe like, okay, let's reel it back in. We'll give, you know, again, we're like, oh, maybe we'll just give Mr. Beast the skadoosh.
Which they shouldn't have done.
No, I think if the only skadoosh came out of Mr. Beast, I would have been like, yeah, that's actually really funny.
Yeah. It's too much. It's too much.
They overdid it. I had less issue. Too much
of a good thing.
There was a lot of skadooshing. Definitely, like, it's like the people working on Kung Fu Panda 4 just saw the trailers for, yeah, Kung Fu Panda 1. They're like, yeah, he says skadoosh all the time, right? No, he said it was a one per film thing.
Yeah.
And now it's nothing. So
I can't believe it's been like over 10 years and they're still hitting skadoosh.
It's such a Jack Black thing, you know.
I mean, it was a Jack Black thing in 2008. He probably improvised that, and they're like, now that's like the movie.
Do you think he likes saying skadoosh?
Absolutely not.
Like,
that he has fun because he gets to go to China and be like, I'm not the voice actor, I'm not in this movie, but I get to go on stage and like children cheer and stuff. I'm sure he has fun doing that. He loves going on the red carpet and doing high kicks.
He must have lucked out. And I feel like being a famous person.
I think he's just highly talented.
Yeah.
Yeah, big Jables fan.
TBH. Yeah, too many skadooshes though.
And that's not his fault.
Yeah, well, maybe he shouldn't have come up with it in the first place. I'm just going to blame him for the invention of Skadoosh.
Coming up with Skadoosh in 2008 is great. That did sell the movie. Let's not undersell it. That did.
It was the main marketing push of the movie, and it worked. So
it absolutely crushed it in the trailers.
I mean, when beyond you that, like that, it does seem like I can't really... You can't ignore the Skadoosh.
Yeah. But
you don't need to say it like half a dozen times.
Yeah. In the second film, Jack Black, very famously, he's like Jim Carrey's face, but with words. Like he loves doing little scatting and ribba-da-ba-ba.
Yeah.
So like let him do a second one. That's all. Let him have a new catchphrase. It's been like 15 years.
Did you enjoy the humor? Obviously, other than the skadooshing, which we are over it.
Very pro.
well. Other than that, though, did you find the humor of the film? Because by the time you got to the part where the film ended for you,
there's no humor after that.
Yeah, the jokes are. I mean, there were still some when the. The Den of Thieves, they kind of they do all some right. Goofs.
All right.
Fighting the lizard group. Was I mean, you talk, sorry, I'll talk about the humor of the movie. Yeah. I was gonna
I go think it was you got a couple like nose exhales out of me. I thought some of it was good. I don't remember what I thought was good, but
I think a lot of the visual gags really got me.
Yeah,
it's a series where like the written jokes maybe are for the children.
Yeah,
or the children it mentally.
I did enjoy the fish captain.
Oh, I love the fish captain. Thank you for bringing him up. I almost forgot about the fish
captain. Ruled.
such a weird decision. Like yeah. They're like, let's make. Let's have a pelican, but actually it's the fish inside the pelican that's the captain, and then let's just make him an alcoholic. And that's it, and we just kind of cut to him occasionally as after he's long past his usefulness in the movie.
Yeah.
And I'm like great. The fish captain,
they like great. Expand the lore a little bit every time, and like
I'm like what are we getting, like give Bryan Cranston and James Hong and the fucking fish captain, give them a movie. Just the three of them. That would, I mean, yeah. I love, yeah, the fish captain was great. And I liked the fighting in that one, that like, you know, inn or diner or whatever that was like on, yeah, just perched up on
tavern.
That. And when it finally fell over, I was like, "Hoo-wee, they were building that up all movie."
Yeah, that was great.
I knew I was being played like a fiddle, but I enjoyed it. I thought it was funny.
Yeah.
Oh man, that big thing fell over. Hoo-hoo.
Got him.
Got it. Shoot.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, shout out Fish Captain. That's really my takeaway from the film.
Great character.
And then he's like, he's in Juniper City, and it's like, why'd they run away? You said yes. He's just like, that's a good bit.
They were really cooking something very different from the rest of the movie.
Stepmother.
Yeah.
Like, what interesting lore to give to a non-character.
Yeah, like yeah, they were doing something weird with that, and I really enjoyed it because like clearly they're like, well, we don't give a shit about this character, he's not important to the plot, do whatever you want. And they're like, okay. And they made him they made him drunk drive a boat and crash it. Yeah. And it was funny.
Yeah, because he drinks like a fish. That's a good bit.
Yeah. That was a good line. Awkwafina said that though, right? So I just
lost a couple points.
It did. I think it's just the delivery wasn't there for me. But like if Tigress said it, would have been way funnier.
Yeah.
Because she would have said it like in a more serious way. And that, I think that would have more serious, more matter of fact, and not like Awkwafina being like trying to do that, but the way her voice sounds just makes it like she's kind of DreamWorks facing herself. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So is Jack Black, but like that makes sense. Like that made sense in 2008. They're like, let's get DreamWorks Face Jr. in here, and Awkwafina is doing the same damn thing. It would have been funnier if she was doing her like black scent, you know.
The was whole she movie. Not?
Well, more of it.
Yeah,
that would have been. No, I mean that would never would have happened, but that would have been funny.
Yeah, shout out Awkwafina. I wish you the best in life. What else? Yeah, I think. I really think Tigress should have been Dragon Warrior or Tai Lung.
No, they definitely should not have killed off Tai Lung. Like, it would have been such.
Bring him back from the spirit world. Just do that, and now he's a Dragon Warrior. That's like a real twist that has emotional impact because, you know, he's been involved. He's been there. So you're like, oh, this is a like,
yeah,
very much a criminal in every respect.
I think it would have been cool because, you know, they bring him out of the spirit realm and then they all just, he's like, all right, time for you guys to go back in the spirit realm when he defeats, you know,
Chameleon. Yeah. And then
they all just like, are like, no. Okay. No, they're all like, okay. And I was kind of hoping that like maybe Tai Lung gets lost in the shuffle there, you know, like they show everybody going in and then they show like they throw Chameleon in the spirit realm, which is tantamount to killing her, right? Like,
yeah,
she is dead now, which is crazy. I mean, that's just like how the spirit realm works. And I was hoping, well, maybe like Tai Lung just kind of like you get a post credit sequence of seeing him like kind of skedaddling out of the skadooshing out of maybe the fortress, and then they're setting up Kung Fu Panda 5 for an Awkwafina and Tai Lung showdown. That would be sick, you know. Yeah. But then he's like, I'm just gonna go back in and I'm just gonna take Chameleon with me, and I'm cool with all this, actually. It's fine.
Yeah, that doesn't really make sense when I read the plot synopsis, and then like everyone just like
goes back,
just calmly walked back.
Well, I think it was more just like Poe is like, oh, I defeated all of you guys at once by technicality, and they're all like, well, respect.
Yeah, all right, gentlemen's agreement. We'll leave.
A huge gentleman's agreement going on. And not all of those fellows were gentlemen.
Yeah. And that's fine. Gentleman is a gender neutral term.
Yeah.
I will say, so my wife has not seen any of the three.
Yeah.
And I took her to see Kung Fu Panda 4.
Oh yeah. What was the wife's,
not a fan.
She didn't like it.
She did not like it.
Does she like martial arts films? I mean, I would assume no. Yeah. I mean, I didn't want to say that, but you know, that goes kind of without saying. Not surprised.
She didn't like it. And she did say it's very weird. Now, again, this is coming from someone who has not seen the first three at all.
Yeah.
She said it's very weird that they really called out at the beginning that the Furious Five were not going to be in this movie.
Yeah.
And she's like, it's just kind of blatantly being like, look at all the people we couldn't get back for this movie.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with that. I do think if they just didn't include them at all, people would be like, oh, that's like, I think you're screwed either way, right?
Yeah.
So you might as well come up with like an in-universe reason. And then for the credit sequence, bring them back and they just make noises and they're not actually talking. Yeah, just
reuse some of the, like, I'm sure you got tons of little monkey noises from Jackie Chan and stuff. Like,
yeah, just reuse the monkey noise. I think they did. Like, I think they did reuse like little grunts and stuff, but
yeah, I guess they have to pay them anyway.
Yeah, I don't know. But
I'm sure you got on the cutting room floor tons of takes.
Do we think Angelina Jolie, do we think Tigress is going to come back in a meaningful way? Or are they trying to move away from, because I mean, on one hand, I like Tigress, the rest of the Furious Five, honestly, you know,
don't care
at all. And I think the cutting down of the cast to a more focused group, because there's really like five characters in the movie.
Yeah.
You know, I think is good, because I think the other ones kind of suffer from having to like have the Furious Five, which is why in the third one, they just kill off four of them temporarily.
Yeah.
When they're turned into the jade statue things, like, you know,
and that's, I don't think any of the Furious Five wanted to do a second one.
I think Angelina Jolie probably did.
She wanted to do the third one.
Yeah. But it's probably not the second one.
Yeah, I don't think anyone wanted to. Like, Jack Black is like, I'm the main character. But to get Jackie Chan to be like, just make monkey noises, and like, you get two lines of dialogue.
He got more lines in the second one. Because he got almost no lines in the first one, which I was like, well, they really got him to just make monkey noises, and that's it. Like, he can talk.
Yeah. Like
all I've seen Rush Hour. I know that he can.
Yeah. Like, Tigress is the only one who has like any meaningful amount of lines in any.
She's the only one who's meaningfully a character. The other ones are just there.
Like, Seth Rogen is like, here's a fun fact about praying mantises. Girls cut the dude's head off after they give birth or whatever. And he says that like six times throughout the trilogy.
Yeah. And he doesn't even say it in the fourth one, and it's still the only joke about him.
Yeah.
Yeah. David Cross, you know, Crane. He's kind of there a little bit more than like Lucy. She's not doing anything.
Lucy. I had no idea Lucy Liu was in the movie until I looked at the Wikipedia for last week's episode.
Yeah. And, you know, she's not doing, the snake's not doing anything. Cobra, whatever the hell she is. No. Also, it bugs me that some of the animals are named a name, and other animals are just named the animal that they are.
Yeah.
It's like, there's no sense of like consistency with it. Like, all the villains have names except for Chameleon, who's just Chameleon. And like, all the Furious Five are basically just the animal names except for Tigress, because that's like slightly,
I mean, that's just the word for female tiger, though.
Yeah. Well, then you have like, okay, so you have all of them. Then you have Poe. Okay.
Yeah.
And then Master Shifu. You got Shifu.
Real name. You got, what's his name?
I think
Lee Sean.
Who?
Bryan Cranston.
Oh, Lee. Yeah. Right.
Lee Sean. Okay, I'm Googling, what does Shifu mean?
It means master.
Oh, yeah.
He's master. I feel like
we went over that.
We did go over that. But, you know, in case someone only, they didn't listen to the Kung Fu Panda retrospective. They got that knowledge now. Which is funny.
Go check out that episode.
Yeah, what are you doing here? You know, spoilers, by the way.
You just checked out Kung Fu Panda 4, just came out. Catch a matinee at the cinema.
Now you go back, watch Kung Fu Panda 1 and 2. Those are better movies.
Yeah.
I mean, again, like, I still like 4, right?
I think 4 looked the best for sure.
It looks the best. And I think the fight choreography is the best. And if you're watching the movies for those reasons, which I don't think are, given how fast paced these movies are, like, I think it's a good time. It's a good, you know, you're not getting anything particularly meaningful out of it, but it's a fun visual spectacle. And it's only like 90 minutes. And it's not like Dune 2, which I would say basically the same thing about. But that's like 3 hours. So
yeah,
I'd rather watch Kung Fu Panda 4 twice than Dune Part 2 again.
And that's fair.
And I think I think that's a real take. Like, that's not like a joke opinion. Like, I think I believe that. Yeah. Kung Fu Panda 4.
Kung Fu Panda 4.
What do you think they're going to do for Kung Fu Panda 5?
I think Jack Black's got to get out. Like, I don't know.
It's going to be hard to have a Kung Fu Panda movie and it'd be about Awkwafina.
Yeah, I agree. But I think that's a struggle they're going to have to deal with. I don't think Jack Black's going to leave, but I think he should.
He needs to tone down the Jack Blackness a bit if he's going to stay in it, because it is not 2008 anymore.
Yeah.
And Poe still sometimes feels like it's 2008, which is fun, but also like kind of annoying. I will say in the previous movies, they do really emphasize how fat Poe is. And I feel like they did that
trying to do it.
They didn't do it. They just make it seem like he likes to eat. He likes food a lot, but it's not directly, boy, isn't he fat? There was less of that, which I was like, tip of the hat.
No one directly calls him fat to his face in this movie,
which is huge. Like Poe.
Huge for the plus size community.
credit where it's due. I don't know if there's going to be any, Oscar nods, for this movie. Although I don't know what else animated is coming out this year.
Migration just dropped.
I don't know what that is.
It's an Illumination film about ducks migrating.
Oh, that seems cute. That did you see the trailer for the robot movie?
I did.
That looked like it would maybe be good.
It does look good, but it also seems to me like propaganda.
For what? For nature?
Like, oh, this robot doesn't fit into nature. And how sad is it? Oh, the robot, it's raining and he's a robot? Isn't that the
robot's
sad?
A metaphor for man.
Robot's obviously a metaphor for technology that doesn't fit into nature. And then, oh, look at that. At the end of the movie, nature loves robots. Aren't robots the best?
No, it's probably like the robot's a metaphor for like being autistic or something. Like, it's not.
Well, if that's the case, I'll love this movie. But
yeah, I think this movie, I was like, this seems like WALL-E on steroids. Like, I feel like this
is what my wife said during the movie. Like, is this just WALL-E if it was made by the people who made Ari and the Blind Forest?
That's kind of what it looked like. I'd be down to do the robot movie.
Whenever it comes out.
That could be Oscar territory. I think we could use Oscar prediction for the robot movie. We haven't seen it yet, but that's going
to
be.
Yeah. I would love to know what it's called, but.
Right. It's like the Wild Robot or something like that. I don't know. There's Wild in there.
Yeah.
The Wild Robot. It's based on a book by Shout Peter out. Brown.
All right. I don't know. I did only see the trailer, wasn't really paying attention, and the projector was having some issues during the trailer. So I can't really say, but right now, March 10th, 2024, I am calling it. That movie's a little bit propaganda.
All right, we'll have to see.
Remains to be seen. I did also want to mention, since we brought up Migration, which is in theaters now. Don't see it, in my opinion. I know nothing about it, but don't see it. Pixar has had a film called Ducks in the works for years. And they were going to drop it like at the end of this year, early 2025. And now Illumination has a Ducks movie. So we may be losing out on some Pixar gems.
What's the Disney? I saw Inside Out 2, which I, frankly have no interest in.
Inside Out 1 is great though.
I didn't like it that much, unfortunately.
You're missing out.
Oh, they released Soul in theaters, now this year for some reason.
The movie came out 4 years ago.
Yeah. Yep. I don't get that. They're doing that with Luca too. All these like Pixar movies that they just had sitting in the bank. They're like,
yeah, I guess direct to streaming. They're like, yeah, we got to get some box office.
Young Woman in the Sea. What the fuck is this?
Nah, some garbage.
What are the animated movies? This Disney Wiki is terrible. Top 10 new Disney movies that are coming out in 2024. The Pioneer Woman website, which is not written. It's written by Josiah. It's not the Pioneer Woman. Space Race, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. That's not really a I mean, those are Disney movies. They own the property. That's not really a Disney movie. Inside Out 2, which, you know, whatever. There's an alien movie. Mufasa, The Lion King.
Boo.
Tomato. It's a Mufasa prequel. Okay.
Just
don't do that.
Just get over it.
Don't do that.
Like the
problem. The Hideo Kojima movie documentary is listed on this.
No, that's a film.
Isn't Moana 2 supposed to come out this year also?
Yeah,
I heard it's like a rework of like a scrapped Disney Plus series.
I believe it, but I don't know. I also heard that they're doing a live action Lilo and Stitch, and they whitewashed Nani.
Not Lilo.
I don't know.
Theoretically, you'd whitewash both of them.
Nani was dark.
I mean, but they're siblings. They're both dark.
Yeah, but Lilo was a little bit lighter anyway. But
she was like a weird kid who stayed inside. So
yeah. Shout out Lilo. Honestly, Lilo and Stitch might be the best Disney film.
They really went off with Lilo and Stitch.
They went off. Dude, the animation on that with like watercolor backgrounds of like, dude.
That Hawaiian roller coaster ride song.
Yeah.
That was crazy.
The music in that's crazy. The animation. Stitch was cool. Like, it's like a very grounded story.
Oh yeah, no, they were cooking up weird shit in the early to mid 2000s at Disney, and tip of the hat, Treasure Planet. Not the best movie, but I like it a lot.
Underrated.
Totally. I mean, Brother Bear. No one talks about that. Great. Again, very grounded kind of personal story. You know.
And
I think people just don't like that era of Disney because it's not about fucking princesses. So they're like, oh, well, we can't watch these. Then they're like, okay, well, we'll do Tangled because you guys are racist and didn't watch Princess and the Frog. So we'll do Tangled. Then we can get your fucking princesses back, and we got them back. But it's like, you know, at the cost of 2D animation, come on.
Yeah, I prefer the 2D films.
Now
we got Kung Fu Panda 4.
They did look... I mean, and how fluffy did some of the animals look?
Oh, they're fluffy.
I was like, dang, they're really rendering all those hairs.
It's good.
Go see Kung Fu Panda 4. You might learn a little bit about Kung Fu and maybe a little bit about yourself too.
That's valid. Valid point. Do we have a teaser for next week?
Do we? I don't know. What's scheduled? We can choose kind of whatever is after this, right? Doesn't really matter.
Next week is Bedazzled.
Bedazzled, the
2000 film by Harold R.
I think we have very differing opinions about that movie. And tune in. We have different opinions about what's the name of
the antagonist, Liz Hurley.
Yeah, we had different opinions about her.
And that's fine.
But we were in agreement about other things as well. So, you know.
Yeah. So if you're listening to this, check out Bedazzled by next Tuesday. You'll love it.
You'll love like maybe three parts of it for sure.
You'll love that you understand the context when you listen to this podcast.
It's huge. Understanding the podcast, like, you know, you got to be watching the movies.
Yeah. If you're not watching the films and you're just listening to us, it's a bunch of mumbo jumbo. bunch so of true. Mommy blogger TikTok hit. I don't know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I don't. You lost me there.
I'm actually quite sick.
Like right, mentally, the, or
yeah, but also, I think I got sick going to see Kung Fu Panda 4.
I still can't believe they make movies like this, and that they're still making Kung Fu Panda movies.
They don't make movies like Kung Fu Panda 4 anymore. All right, we said it. We said the thing. This movie could not have been an email unless you had like a really big attachment. That's my thoughts on Kung Fu Panda 4. Check out Bedazzled next week, everybody.